In fact, it took me 7 years to get a 4 years bachelor's degree. It took a lot of patience from my parents, a lot of encouraging all the way through. I remember one summer after a lot of sitting around, my twin brother and I, my dad had enough of it, and he came home, and he had the Northeastern catalog in his hand, and we sat down, and he opened it up and said, "All right, look, you two, you guys are going to take some classes." And so we were looking through the book, and as we were looking through the book, his neck got red, and we knew that was when my dad would get really upset. And you wouldn't believe it, but he threw the book across the room because we had already missed the registration day for the next semester coming up. And so we both worked jobs that semester. A lot of patience, a lot of encouragement. Eventually I decided, well, I know what my major is. And since I had a stellar academic career, I said, you know what, I'm going to be a teacher. I made it. I became a teacher. But let me tell you, it took a lot of encouragement, a lot of patience. I want to start by saying that even the great men in Scripture needed encouragement from time to time. And you know who some of these people are. Think about Joshua taking leadership from Moses. What a scary thing that must have been for that young man. Deuteronomy 1:38, and you can just listen. We'll turn to some other passages in a second. But let's just read and listen. "But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." Later on in Joshua 1:5, God encouraged Joshua himself. He said to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them." Aren't those wonderful words? I know you've heard them before. "I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous." Great promises even for us today. What an encouragement for Joshua. You remember Elijah? He even needed God's encouragement after the threat from Jezebel. And as you remember, Elijah became afraid. He ran for his life. He became exhausted, overwhelmed, and depressed, much like we do in our lives today. The angel of the Lord provided food for him, which strengthened him for another long journey. Later on, God spoke to Elijah with a gentle whisper, Scripture says. God told Elijah that he wasn't alone in his ministry. Elijah was ultimately encouraged as he witnessed the presence of God at Mount Horeb. What encouragement for Elijah. And so the first question on your handout, what does it mean to encourage others? So I want to take a look at this word, and let's see if this is working here. I'm not getting anything here, Mr. Guerrero. When you get there, click us to the word. Oh, there we are. There we go. Let's look at this word. Encourage. I know you know what encourage means, but I want to think about this first key word here. What does courage mean? I think you know, and I know that you know what courage is. Courage is the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand or face danger, fear, or difficulty. Or courage is the quality shown by someone who decides to do something even though they may be afraid. Yes, sometimes we do get afraid. don't we? That is why the words "do not be afraid" are mentioned 82 times in Scripture. Can you think of an account in Scripture where someone showed great courage? You could probably think of quite a few. Which one would be your favorite? My favorite would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar decreed that everyone bow and worship the golden statue or be thrown into the blazing fiery furnace. What happened? They refused to do so. They were brought before the king. He yelled and screamed. What happened? They refused to do so. Even as they stood with public pressure staring down at them, they refused to do so. The king ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than ever before. They still refused to do so. The king had his strongest soldiers tie them in knots as tight as possible. I'm sure it was painful. They still refuse to bow. Daniel 3:16 probably records the greatest moment of courage, I think, that I like. This was their reply. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he does not, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. That is courage, isn't it? I know you've had courage in your life. I've had courage in my life. Back in 1995, I had to ask my wife out on our first date. That was courage. Why might I be scared? Well, let me tell you. I knew that Jill was already a teacher, as a kindergarten teacher. She had already started her career. She had a beautiful, brand new red sports car. She had just moved into an apartment with her best friend, Janet. Me, on the other hand, it was my 7th year of college. I hadn't finished yet. I didn't have a job lined up yet. In fact, my wife found me my first job. I didn't have a car, and I wasn't driving my dad's huge station wagon on my first date. So undeterred, I summoned my courage. I asked a friend for her phone number. I asked my other friend, Angel, if I could borrow his car. And then, with that courage, I called her up and asked her out on a date. What courage I exhibited. Because who would want to go out with that? And the rest is history. In fact, Jill didn't find out I didn't own a car until after we had dated for a month. And then by then, you know, it was all over. And she was in love with me, so that was it. So even I have exhibited courage in my life. A couple of years ago, all the Chicago public teachers went on strike, and I didn't want to go on strike. I had my reasons, and so I was going to cross the picket line, and I didn't want to cross myself, so I called my twin brother, and I said, "Are you going to cross?" And he was like, "Are you going to cross? I'll cross if you cross." "Okay, we'll cross." And the night before, we called each other up on the phone. We encouraged each other. "Okay, we're both going to cross, right?" And we met in the parking lot, and we stared at each other, and we gave each other thumbs up, and we got out, and we crossed that picket line together. And I know you guys, there are people here that have higher examples of courage than I. And I know you know what it is. I want to talk about the prefix "in" and "encourage" for just a second, so stay with me. The prefix in the word "encourage" means to put on or within So encourage means to put courage on someone or within someone who doesn't have it at the time. It's the opposite as from discourage. This means to take off of or take away from. And so you see the difference there. To encourage is the act of giving one support, confidence, hope. It is like a gentle push forward for someone who has run out of energy. It is inspiring someone with confidence to do something. To stimulate or encourage someone, especially with cheers or shouts. To give help or support to someone. I know you know what encouragement is. The question is, what is biblical encouragement? What is biblical encouragement? I'll give you a second just to think about that question for a second. Let's look at one definition here. Biblical encouragement is the act of influencing others with renewed courage, resolve, or hope as they face spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. That's a very important thing in our lives. As a church and as Christian people, can you look at that definition again? Biblical encouragement is the act of influencing others with renewed courage, resolve, or hope as they face spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Let's run through a bunch of verses here. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. A quick word before we start to move here. Someone you know today needs some encouragement. Right now, today, not tomorrow, not a week from now when you happen to think of it. Someone needs your encouragement today. What are you waiting for? As a church, as a Christian, what are you going to do to encourage someone today? 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Here we get another hint about encouraging others. When you encourage others, and you can see in that verse there with these words, use the very words of Scripture, use the very words of God to encourage one another, and we'll talk about that more in just a second. 2 Corinthians 13:11, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. Another hint about encouragement. It's hard to encourage someone if you're not getting along with them. If you're having problems in a church, it's hard to encourage one another. If you're fighting with someone, unity is important. Encouragement comes out of our love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, I want to take just a minute to show you some interesting things about the Greek word that we translate encourage. Now, I know when speakers start to mention Greek and all those things, people just start doodling in their Bibles. So I want you to pay attention, because if I think this is interesting, then I think maybe you might find it a little interesting. So stay with me, and I want to show you some interesting Bible study tools that can be helpful as you study God's word. You can do all these things too. So if we look up that word, let me just go back to the previous verse so you can see it. We're going to look up encourage from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. All right. And so if you go to an online Greek dictionary, you can see this Greek word. Okay. And so I don't want to have your eyes glaze over too much, but take a look. You can see all those lines there. You can see the part of speech it is. You can see the English. You can see the Greek writing. You can see the Greek word. And then there's a number there that you look up and you can see the real definition of the word that they use in Scripture and how it's translated. And so we see the word courage. And if we go and click on that number, 3,870, we get a good definition of the Greek word. And so when you click on it, it takes you to another page. And there we go. And so there you see that Greek word, 3,870, and there's some interesting things there. This word, encourage, is a verb. You know what that means then? It's something you're supposed to do. Here we have the phonetic spelling of it, par-ak-al-echo. But look at the definition and the usage. To call to, refer, to exhort, to encourage, to summon, to invite. You can see letter D there, comfort, encourage, and console. I really like this part, the helps studies here. Here you can see that this word encourage comes from two other Greek words, para and kaleo. Look at those words there. Those words mean to encourage from close beside or to call. And so properly, if you can see it there, it says, make a call from being close up and personal. And so the image associated with this word is the image of nearness and presence. When we lift someone up, when we encourage someone, when we carry someone along, when we spur them on, it takes a close and personal touch when we encourage. There's an amazing verse, John 14:26. You know this verse. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I have said. Remember when Jesus said this, he had already told the 12 that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to leave them. They were very confused. Jesus knew that after his death, the apostles were going to be scared and discouraged. And so he revealed that he would send them the Holy Spirit. Now, as I read that verse, it might be different in your translation. Another tool I like is the Parallel Bible. If you look up this verse in the Parallel Bible, you can see that the translators had a difficult time figuring out what word would best describe the Holy Spirit here. And all the translations use a different word, it seems. The NIV, but the Advocate or the Helper. King James, the Comforter. The New American Standard, the Helper. And then I like the Amplified Version because it gives them all. But the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit. Now, if we want, and we will because I'm going to show you, we can go back to this verse, John 14:26. Whoops. And we can look up that word. I'm not sure what I did there. And we can see that it is now a noun. This word is used to name the Holy Spirit. If we look further, we can see it's an advocate, an intercessor, a comforter, a helper. If we look down at the word studies, look, you can see that this word for the Holy Spirit is the same word that's translated encourager. It uses the same words, para, kaleo. You could use the word encourager there in that verse. You see what God has done here for us? God has already given us the inside of us that we need for encouragement. The inside, God has given us the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit for our own encouragement. It is the Holy Spirit that is as close to us as anything can possibly be inside our hearts, inside our own bodies. I can't explain it. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. God accomplishes this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what God says. The Holy Spirit will comfort us. The Holy Spirit is in us as close as anyone can be. So we see that God strengthens us already from within. What about encouragement from us out, from without? This is where you come in. This is your job as believers, as a church, as brothers and sisters who love each other. You are to come alongside, up close and personal, to encourage other brothers and sisters. Take a look at your handout. And so I want to remind you of two practical ways that we encourage, ways that you know, but it's always good to review. Number one, we encourage others when we pray for them. Even Apostle Paul needed encouragement, and especially in prayer. He admits it himself. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and you can see this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 19, it's amazing to me, for Paul says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm ambassador in chains. Well, he was in chains for preaching the gospel, but can you believe he still at times got afraid? It's amazing to me. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Paul needed the prayers of everyone that he ever ministered to. That is what encouraged him. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul tells them in chapter 1, verse 16, now that he has their attention and says, I need your prayers, then he tells them, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Jump down to verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Paul is mentioning this power to encourage them, that they can face anything that they are looking at in the future. Chapter 3, verse 14, he continues, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him he was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. You see the mutual encouragement there in prayer? Paul needed it. The people needed it. There's nothing more encouraging than knowing that people are praying for you as you face a situation in life. We could go on and on listing the situations that people face in their lives. We need to pray for those things in people's lives. It is a comfort for them. It is a reassurance for them. It is a power in their lives. There's a great comfort into seeing a situation when, from someone's point of view, when they sit down and say, hey, let's pray about this. Here are some of the verses that I think about. I'm going to pray for you. Pray for others. Make it a habit to let others know that you are praying for them, just like Paul did. I love getting texts from friends and family letting me know that they are praying for me. I call them prayer texts. I don't think they're mentioned in the Bible, but I like them. It's a way to pray together, even though you are not present with each other. What an encouragement those are to me. Don't prayer requests jump in your mind all the time? You're sitting there driving or walking and a prayer jumps into your mind. I know they do. When that happens, stop and pray. I know when that happens, usually it happens in my car. I shouldn't tell you that sometimes I do text when I'm driving, but I use the talk thing. And I whip off a quick prayer to somebody to let them know that I'm praying for them. It will encourage that person more than you will ever know. Send them a verse or a promise from God's word. I have a mutual prayer text partner. We go back and forth first thing in the morning. A good friend at my church. Some days we just text the prayer emoji. And we know that the other person is praying for exactly the things that we've talked about, exactly the things that we need encouragement as we work through things with our own family members. And we encourage each other in that way. Man, to get my prayer text first thing in the morning, what an encouragement that is to me as I'm driving to work. One writer says, the word encouragement is a powerful little word. In the ancient Greek world, this word was often used by military leaders before they sent their troops into battle. Rather than hide from the painful reality of war, the leaders would summon their troops together and speak straightforwardly with them about the potential dangers of the battlefield. The leaders would also tell their troops about the glories of winning a major victory. Rather than ignore the clear-cut dangers of battle, these officers came right alongside their troops and urged, exhorted, beseeched, begged, and pleaded with them to stand tall, throw their shoulders back, look the enemy straight on, eyeball to eyeball, and face their battles bravely. Doesn't the word prayer warrior come to mind? Isn't it encouraging to know that we have reinforcements that are close by, near to us, helping us along the way? Got a question for you. Who is known in Scripture as the brother of encouragement? I heard the answer. Yeah, Barnabas. Turn with me to Acts 4:32 as we continue. Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrected Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Number two of how we encourage others, when we provide for them, when we give to people in need. Here we see Barnabas, a man who wanted to encourage people so much. He sold his property, gave all the profits to the apostles. It seems to me that Barnabas didn't give that money himself. He brought it to the church. He set it before the elders, the men in charge, and they saw to it that the people who needed the money would get it. You can encourage people in that way here at Northwest Bible Chapel. I know the elders will give out gifts as a way to encourage people through financial difficulty. Not only as a way to help out, but to let others know that they are not alone in their hardship and that you are right there close with them. We don't have much time. Let me end with this. We all have the call to be encouragers. We don't have time to get into the spiritual gift of someone who is an encourager. But we are all called to encourage. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to own a company to make a difference with your giving. You don't have to have a sermon memorized. You don't have to be the leader of a Bible study. You start by praying for others and providing. Just talk to someone. Share your experiences. Share God's promises that have made a difference in your life, in your faith, as you've learned to trust God. Share how God worked out situations in your life. What gave you strength? I had a friend, Josh, only 11 days ago. He had a heart episode in the middle of the night on November 19th. They still don't know really what happened. His wife woke up to see him gasping for breath. His children had to perform CPR until the paramedics got there. For days, he was sedated on a respirator. He has a long road of recovery and rehabilitation. The full damage to his cognitive abilities and the neurological condition is not fully known, and it's been difficult for the family. There have been some encouraging physical signs of improvement, but above all, his wife Tara has informed us of the spiritual encouragement that she has received. 2 days later, November 21st, we are beyond grateful for you all. The outpouring of love, support, and prayers is so helpful. I don't have the capacity to respond often to calls and messages, but they are extremely valuable to me. Thank you. November 23rd. I don't have the words to tell you how meaningful your love, support, and prayers are to our family. As we come out of shock and begin processing our hearts and minds, we are beyond thankful for the help of so many. November 24th. I have seen God meet my needs in all kinds of crazy ways. I can see his perfect timing in these things. Now may I trust his perfect timing in all things concerning Josh. November 25th. Please keep praying. God is on the move. It is a privilege to have a front row seat to seeing what God is doing. November 26th. Running a marathon, I am reminded by the neurological team that we are in this for the long haul. Pray for us as we are encouraged and discouraged over and over all throughout the day. We don't know how to do this, and we need God's help each step of the way. We are needed, aren't we? November 28th. I am thankful for each one of you. Your diligent prayers on our behalf are being answered. We are on this journey. You are on this journey with our family, and we are blessed because of it. Thank you for praying, for reaching out, for supporting us in so many ways. Please keep praying. Josh needs you, and so do we. November 29th. Pray for Josh as his brain builds new pathways. Pray for him as he processes all that has happened and is overcome by the impact. When I share with him how many people are praying for him, he cried with all the more gratitude. So on behalf of Josh, thank you. November 30th, pray for me, Tara writes, because I am exhausted. From Josh's heart to yours, Tara signs, all glory to God. My final question to you this morning, how will you encourage someone else this week? Josh and Tara cannot do it on their own. They cannot do it by themselves. They need prayer. And they're going to need some money to get through this. Pray and provide. Send a personal note. Let people know that you are praying for them. Is there a financial need? What can you do to help? Does someone need spiritual encouragement? Does someone you don't need to visit? Just showing that you care. They need to know that they are not forgotten. Can you help someone this week? Is there something you're good at that in some way can help another brother or sister? Can you say an encouraging word to someone? Is there someone you know that just needs you to come alongside of them and lift them up for some reason? We cannot live our spiritual lives without encouragement. This world is too difficult. Let us be God's instruments of encouragement to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I just love being in this place this morning to share with my brothers and sisters in this place that has meant so much to me all these years. I think back on this message and praise you for the place. And when I say place, Heavenly Father, you know that I mean these people have meant so much to me. People have been with me through my life and encouraged me in so many ways. And so I'm excited to be here to encourage them also. Heavenly Father, help us be the instruments that you want us to be in our lives to help others. It's such an important ministry of encouragement. There are times when we miss the opportunities to encourage others, and I pray that you would help us think about those moments. The Holy Spirit can work in our lives and bring things to our minds, people to help, people to minister to, people to encourage, and we would do this all for your glory. Help us do this more in the days to come. Praise things in your name. Amen.